What a wonderful song.
Magnify the precious name of Jesus. Continue through our story, the story, the Jesus story this week, and we've been reading through the book of Ephesians. If you have not been a part of that, you still want to jump in, you can do that. There at the Welcome Center or back on the table as you go out the back door, you'll find those little booklets and you can catch up with our reading. I want to remind you that if you are a guest with us or you're kind of new to us, there's some brochures that we have that might help orient you a little bit. One of those is About Us, what a Church of Christ about. You can pick that up at the Welcome Center as well. One that tells you what it means to be a member. If you've recently become a member, I would recommend you pick one of those up. If you have thought about that, then you might pick one up and read it as well. And then, of course, if you're wanting to get more plugged in ministries, one of those brochures will tell you how you can do that. So right outside there, you'll see the big white thing, the Welcome Center. You can pick those up there. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, we are thankful for your tremendous grace. And as we think about your great love, we wonder how could that happen for us? Why would you do that for us? And yet we know that you have. And we are here to honor you, to praise you, glorify you and your Son. And now we want to reflect, Father, upon the significance and the change that that brings about in our lives. And so as we do, we ask your blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word. And through your Son we pray. Amen. I also want to remind you that our elders are always eager to meet with you. If you have prayer requests, you can go out the back door and down to the left, and they would be happy to do that. It is that time of year, if you have not done it already, it's that time to go up into the attic and bring down all the Christmas lights. They're going to put them on the tree, put them on the house, wherever you're going to put them. But first you have to untangle them, right? Get them all untangled, worked out there. And then you're going to get them up. And if you're like me, you often have this experience. You get the lights all hooked up and plugged in and everything, and something's not right. You know, you've got all the lights are just a little bit dim, or maybe there's one section that's just not working right. So something's not right. But when they are right, you might have an experience something like this, as we saw from Christmas Vacation. So you get that experience, right? It's all perfect. It's all working right. Our experience this year was, we have one of those ready-made trees. Just pour water on it and all of a sudden you have a tree. Well, not quite, but you know, you just pull it out of the package, plug it all together, plug all the wires in. It's a tree with lights built in. It's like ready-made. But like all of these things, it doesn't always necessarily work right. So this year we put it all together and there was this one section of the tree that the lights were not working. And we wiggled everything around and messed with it. Finally, I just decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to turn that part away so people can't see it. At least I got this thing to fix it. And the rest of the story is, get the thing in the mail to fix it, and then we plug the lights in, all of a sudden they're all working. You go figure, right? But, you know, they just turn it away and everything's going to work out right. Sometimes our spiritual lives are like that. I mean, we settle for things that are less. We'll just turn it away. We'll go along with the dim lights or the one section of the lights not quite working. Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Ephesus about settling for something less than God wants for them. And he encourages them in this letter to really embrace so much more. This letter is pretty easy to break down because it has two simple parts. The first part is everything that God has done for us. And then the second part is how we respond to everything that God has done for us. So this really is summed up in our scripture reading that we heard this morning. For by grace, this is all the things God has done for us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not on your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result, so that no one may boast. God has done this, but for we are what we are is God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. God's handiwork, as some translations say. So God has done all these things for us, and then this is how we respond. And so Paul starts off talking about this. He says in the opening, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And Paul's going to get rolling here, and we're going to look at these all in just very quickly, but he gets rolling with talking about all these things that God has done for us. I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid, but when I was a kid in our park, we had this hill that was just pretty steep hill. And crazy kids, we'd love to get at the top of that thing and just start running downhill as fast as we could. And you know what starts happening before long? You can't keep up, and then you just start tumbling and tumbling. If I did that today, I'd have to go to the hospital. But back then, it was great. And Paul sort of does that, just going on all of these things that God has done for us. So the first one is, he chose us to be holy and blameless. What does it feel like to be chosen? You were picked for the kickball team, picked first even. Someone picked you to be their mate for life. Most of us know what it feels like to not be chosen, to be rejected, to not be picked for the kickball team, to ask a girl out for a date and have her say, "No. All right, never asking again," right? Or to apply for a job and then they just never call you back. But we have been chosen, Paul says. God chose us. Us who belong on the island of misfit toys. Us who know that we have no right to be chosen. But God has chosen us. He's chosen us to be blameless and to be holy. That's how God has designed us to be. He has chosen us, these blobs of clay, to make something beautiful out of them. He has chosen us. The next thing he says is that he has destined us for adoption as his children. Think about what it had been like before if you were the adopted child. Before you were adopted, maybe you were discarded by your parents, or maybe your parents were addicted to drugs and they couldn't really take care of you. Maybe the state came and took you away from your parents, and so you don't have a place to belong, no place to call home. But then someone wanted you. Someone was willing to jump through all the hoops, all the legal hoops that you have to go through to adopt someone. Someone, even though it was going to be very expensive, someone chose you, wanted you, adopted you, and they were willing to pay the price. We didn't have a home, but God adopted us and gave us a home. The third thing then is he gave us redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We lost the battle to sin, and we were taken captive by sin. I don't know if you guys have been seeing this movie that's advertising that's coming out the 22nd of this month. Back in the early 70s, John Paul Getty had his son kidnapped, 16-year-old grandson, was kidnapped. John Paul Getty was the richest man in the world, and these people demanded $17 million for him to be ransomed, for him to be redeemed. And John Paul Getty refused to pay the money. He said, "I have 14 other grandchildren. If I pay now, then there will be 14 other kidnappings. I'm not paying." Well, as the story goes on, he eventually did pay. But he refused to pay. He refused to part with the money. And our story is that God didn't part with money. He parted with his own son. He redeemed us through the blood of Christ. The next thing Paul says in running down this hill, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. You remember, several decades ago, Rodney King and the whole beating that he took by the Los Angeles Police Department, and then the riots that took place, and the famous line by Rodney King, "Why can't we all just get along?" kind of a question people have been asking for a long time with really no answer. It is a mystery. But Paul goes on to say in Ephesians, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The mystery, Paul says, is that God has done it. He has taken Jew and Gentile and brought them together. He has created this one new humanity. And that's the mystery that He has shared with us. Then he goes on. He gave us an inheritance. Imagine you get a call tomorrow morning from the attorney representing Bill Gates, and Bill Gates has passed away and he's left everything to you. Me? Why me? What have I done to deserve this? But God has given you His inheritance. He has marked us with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. He goes on to explain in verse 14 exactly what he means by that. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. The NIV calls it a deposit. Something great is waiting for us down the road. And we don't have the whole thing now, but we get a little piece of it now. We get a deposit now from God for the thing that's coming that's great. And that deposit that we're getting now is the Holy Spirit. And then he says, He made us alive when we were dead. Because each one of us carries around death in us. We know that sooner or later we're all headed to the cemetery. But God has placed life within us so that the cemetery is not the end of the story. And so that's chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians. So based on that, in chapter 4, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And he goes on to say, well, as a result of that, there are things that you don't do, and then there are things that you do. You don't do things like the Gentiles. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. Gentiles, in this case, is not talking about distinct from Jews. He's talking about people that are totally separated and apart from God. You don't want to live like that because it's a bad road for you to go down. It's a life of destruction. And it takes you down a self-centered hole. And so what you do want to do is to live this life like this. This is the self-centered hole. And he goes on and gives this list of all these things. This licentiousness, this greed, all these things, that this hole that it's going to take you all the way down. But then there are the things you want to do. First of all, he says, he's given everybody gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up a body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. God has given every one of us a gift, something that we're good at doing. And he says, I want you to use that for others. Use it for the benefit of others. So the thing that you do, there's all these things you don't do, and this picture is painted of what you don't do, but now there are all these things that you do. And one of the things you do, if you're going to live this worthy life, is you use the gift that God has given you to the praise of His glory, to help others. And then he paints this picture of what this godly life is like. This submission to others, this love for others, this patience that you have in this life. It is the kind of life that God has designed for us. Life that is meant to bless you and bless those around you. We grow up to be like this, Paul is arguing, when we cooperate with God's Spirit, when we cooperate with God's grace. There's all these things that God has done for us, and remember, those always come first, and now we cooperate with those things, with His Spirit and with His grace, to become the people God designed for us to be
from the very beginning. What Paul is telling us is the more we understand that, the more we want it, so the more we get what it is that God has done, then the more we're going to want to be transformed, the more we're going to want to cooperate with God's Spirit in our lives. And so in chapter 3, Paul prays for the Ephesian Christians, and he prays for us that we'll get it, that we'll understand really what God has done. He says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As you are being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend." I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He prays that they will have the power to comprehend. We can all probably think of a time when we were children, we were taught something, we were given lists or some kind of tables or something, things that we had to memorize, and we memorized them so we could get a good grade on the test, but we really didn't know what it was we were memorizing. Been there? Maybe the multiplication table, all the way up to 12. I remember in third grade memorizing the multiplication table, which has benefited me because I still know it. But sometimes we memorize things, but we don't quite get how it all works. 2 times 4 is 8. Okay, I memorized that until I realized that's 2 fours. And when you finally, that light sort of comes on with you, and you get to that point and you say, oh, this is what Paul is praying for, that we have that experience with our faith so that we finally say, oh, I get it. I get what God is doing. And so someone can give us a list or show us a picture. This is the kind of person, and come down with all these lists of things that we're supposed to be or things that we're supposed to do. But until we really grasp it, until we get that, oh, we really are not quite there. And then we'll live with this mediocrity. We'll live with these dim lights in our lives. And so Paul's prayer for them and for us is that we will get it, that we will have this power to comprehend what exactly has been done for us in our lives. Well, let's be honest. We're often content with the dim lights in our lives, aren't we? Content to just maybe just move the part that's not lit up, turn it around so nobody can see it. We're content with going to church. We're content with avoiding the big sins. We're content with the bare minimum. But if you think about it, that's sort of like being content with having a cold. Yeah, I'm all snotty and I'm coughing all the time, but it's okay. That's just how things are. Who would be content with that? Or being content with blurry vision when you could see clearly. But this contentment with the mediocrity, contentment with the dim lights, that really keeps us from experiencing all that God wants us to experience. It keeps us from experiencing what we were designed to experience and what we were designed to be. And so there's a reason that God paints these, or that Paul paints these pictures. This is bad for you. It's not just a list of things that you shouldn't do. This sort of life is bad for you. It's destructive for you, and it's destructive for people around you. And yet, like a dog that's attracted to the antifreeze, we are attracted to these things. You know, the dog likes the antifreeze because it's so sweet. He'll lick it up, and then what's going to happen to him? Well, he'll die. There are these impulses. These impulses in us that lead us to things like uncontrolled anger. There are these impulses in us that lead us to things like greed. There are these impulses in us that lead us to things like sexual immorality. There's this power, this driving force that's wanting us to lick up all of the antifreeze. And Paul says, there's a better life. It's the life God designed for you. It's not just a list of things you ought to do. This is the best life. When Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, this is what he's talking about. Kindness and humility and patience. The kind of people God designed us to be in the first place. And it's this kind of life that helps us transcend the difficulties of life. A few weeks ago, we went through the book of James, and you might remember as you read through James, coming across this passage. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Consider it joy when you go through difficulties. That makes no sense when you are content with a dim light life. Because the dim lights are not concerned with the spiritual blessings in Christ. They're not concerned with being the way that God has designed us to be. And so we've just learned to sort of just turn it around so nobody can see it. And go on with life. There was a time, you probably don't remember it, maybe you do, there was a time that you looked at these letters and basically what you saw was something like this. They made no sense to you. But somebody taught you to sound these letters out. And then they taught you that if you put these letters together, they made words. And then if you put those words together, they made sentences and books. And a whole new world was opened up to you. Imagine what your life would be like if you had been content to only see that all of your life. And with that in mind, I just ask you this morning, what is it that you might be missing out on in the spiritual blessings that come in Christ because you were content with dim light? Let's stand and sing.